this because people were asking me and telling me, when are you going to talk about Revelation? We need to talk about the book of... So we're talking about the book of Revelation. I know. I don't think it's too spooky. It's not too crazy. Has anybody ever read the book of Revelation before? Is anybody... Now, I asked this last week. I just want to know if it's changed. Did anybody get freaked out halfway through it and stop? Okay. Who has never, ever, ever read the book of Revelation? All right. Let me ask you this. Who doesn't even know what the book of Revelation is? Who does not know? All right. Yeah, it's all right. We're cool. This is the last book in the Bible. So that's like, which makes sense because it's like about like the last parts of everything. Book of Revelation is like one of those books like, okay, like you start off at the beginning and it's cool. It's like, oh, cool. God's like creating stuff. And then there's like people and stories. Then you go a little further on and it's like, oh, cool. There's like kings and armies and fights. Oh, yeah. And then it goes on and then it gets, you know, oh, like poems and so I get this. Like the Bible, and then you get part of Jesus. Oh, I dig Jesus. He's like healing people. This is cool. And then all of a sudden you get like to Revelations. In Revelations, you're like, What? What is that? I don't get it. I don't get it. And people get freaked out by that. You know, there's like been movies made and stuff like that. And it's just kind of like, what does it all mean? And then, like, people are starting to get freaked out about the end of the world and stuff, right? Didn't we feel the earthquake this morning? You guys didn't feel the earthquake this morning? Thank you. Like, thank you. You missed it, okay? That's because you should have been getting up early going to school, right? Y'all slept in. No, there was an earthquake. I was all up in my house, and it was like, it was real quick. It was like, grish. And it was done. It was weak. It was like way weak. But then you know, like, you ever you feel an earthquake, and then you're like, it's like 6. I think it was like 6:45 or something. But, you know, you feel like an earthquake, and then, like, you, like, are, like, freaked out, and you're like, everything feels like it's moving. Was that another one? Was that another one? No. No, okay. And then it's just, you know, it's kind of, yeah. But anyway, it could be kind of like that all morning. So people begin to kind of, you know, I've been talking about it. And every so many years it comes back like, oh, this guy says the world's going to end. The world was supposed to end last Thursday, apparently, by this dude in the Midwest was like, I know I was wrong last time, but this time I'm right. And he was wrong again, unless I missed it, which would suck. But anyway, we're still here. So what happens is we end up like hearing these things, and you either A, get freaked out like it's gonna happen now, or you just thinking, oh, this is stupid. Or you dismiss things like this. Oh, it's just another crazy guy, just another one of those cults, you know. And we end up dismissing it. And the challenge is this: is we either get too hypersensitive or we just get too dismissive. Does that make sense? And you just, we don't pay attention to it the way we're supposed to. We get distracted. And the truth of the matter is this, is like, okay, God wrote the Bible. He preserved it. He saved it for us thousands of years. It's like A-okay. It's good, you know. It's accurate, all that kind of stuff. And the problem is, you know, the Bible tells us that there will come a time when God's going to wrap everything up. And if we're not careful, we can miss it. Not like you'll wake up and say, oh, no, I missed the bus. But you'll miss it in that you won't be prepared for when things get a little crazy, or your life won't be ready for when God's ready to wrap everything up. You know what it's like. You wake up late for school. The alarm goes off. The alarm doesn't go off because you put it for p.m. instead of a.m., right? Or like the time changes and you forget that the time changes because you don't use your phone for the alarm clock. Anyway, you end up waking up late, so you're like scrambling out the door like, oh, snaps, and you got like makeup coming this way, and your cowlick is like up, and you just look all jacked up, and then you see the cute girl, and you just look jacked up. She's like, I don't want to talk to you, rooster head. So you end up being unprepared for the day. Well, Jesus says, look, if you pay attention, you can be prepared for the day. You can be prepared for the time when I need you to pay attention, buckle down, and fulfill the calling in your life, whether that's at the end of days or just like when you run out of days and you're old and wrinkly. So God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. How do we prepare for it? Now, the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, it talks about a whole group of stuff. And there's like, and if you were here last week, then, you know, you heard some of this, but the book of Revelation, it's all these pictures and metaphors, and this man named John, back around 90 AD, yeah, a couple thousand years ago, he 70, 90 AD, he ends up getting taken up to heaven in a vision, and God kind of just shows him the behind the scenes of everything that's happening. It's kind of like when you watch like the commentary section of a DVD or whatever, like, oh, that's how they made Woody and Buzz. Oh, they look terrible. Anyway, so God begins to pull back the curtain and says, this is the way things are happening in the spiritual world, angels and demons and all these crazy things begin to happen, and God's making these decisions, and it's just affecting the entire world. And it happens throughout history, especially as history begins to wind up in the future, the near future. I mean, and God begins to say these things. It says here in Revelation 1, it says, now this is the revelation, or this is the revealing of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. And we're coming back to the future because he's talking about the future. It's kind of like he took John to say, hey, here's the future. And then he writes about it. So it's like when we read Revelation, we're going to the future. And then one day we'll live it. So it's like we went back to the... Didn't. Just checking if you're awake. That's it. Anyway, so the Bible says God gave him these ideas. He showed him these things so we would be ready. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness. He saw the word of God and the testimony, the story of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one. Hey, I want to be blessed. Is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, the things that come. Blessed is the one who hears. That's you. That's you. We're all hearing this. And if you keep, you listen, you do what's written in it. Why? Because the time is near. It's coming quickly. Coming quickly. When it happens, it's all going to go down pretty fast. Now, look. Revelation is not going to tell you, like, exactly when Jesus is coming back, when the end of the world is. It's like, you can't, like, find, like, the numbers and stuff like that. Like, oh, he's coming back in the year 2032 at 5 in the morning on a Wednesday morning, so you don't have to go to church, you know? So, the Bible strictly says, if somebody tells you he's coming back next week, that fool's stupid. Don't listen to him. The Bible says that you can tell the times, but you won't know the day. So don't be fooled. The Bible's not going to tell you that Obama's the Antichrist. The Bible's not going to tell you that some dude in China is the Antichrist. The Bible's not going to tell you that your mom is the Antichrist. Because I know she's crazy, but she's not that bad, okay? The Bible's not going to specifically tell you, but it will tell you how you're supposed to act, who you're supposed to be, and what manner of person you need to have on the inside. What kind of person you need to be made of. So that when things do get a little tough, you can handle it. See, the book of Revelation means that God's revealing something to you. It was hidden. Now it's made plain. That's what it means. It's like I said, it's like God's taken the sheet, the curtain off, and he's showing you, this is what it's really made of, guys. This is what I'm revealing to you. And that's what we're talking about today. So, If God's taken the curtain away, then what the heck is he showing us? Like what is God really showing us? I think if you were to look at this, like as a whole, you'll find that if there's one thing that God is, one thing that God's trying to show you in all these crazy pictures of the book of Revelation is that God's patient. Can a brother get an amen? Thank you. Thank you. Because you know what it's like when you get in trouble for nothing. What are you doing? Why did you do that? Weren't you thinking? What were you thinking when you did that? You know when your parents get down on you like that, or your teacher, or whoever, your parole officer, and all of a sudden, they're getting down on you. Like, why? Why'd you take that ankle bracelet off? You know you're not supposed to do that. And all of a sudden, you begin to get frustrated. You know, I mean, don't you think you deserve one more chance before the hammer drops down? Right? Throw me a bone. Come on, just... give me a break. It's not that big a deal. Now, Revelation's crazy because there's a lot of lot of wild things. I mean, the Bible says that, you know, a third of the world gets burned up, and all of a sudden these bowls of wrath are happening, and this dragon comes out of the sea, and then there's the beast and the Antichrist, and then there's the prophet, and it's like this unholy trinity, and there's all these crazy things. And the Bible begins to say that, you know, the mountains begin to crumble, and God begins to pour out judgment and wrath, and this is the crazy stuff, man. But and you think, Pastor Richard, look, I've read Revelation, and the part I stopped at was kind of like, God looked like he was a little mad. But here's what we forget, is that in the middle of all this, that God is really patient. Now, the book of Revelation opens up with seven letters. God says, John, look, here's this angel, and me and him, we're going to be talking to you. I need you to write these things down because I have some things I want you to tell some churches in these cities. There's seven churches, seven cities. And he says in Revelation 2 and 3, he says, look, take down their names, take down the cities, and I want you to kind of give them a report card. And in these cities, in these churches, I want you to tell them everything they're doing right, and then I want you to tell them what they're doing wrong. And after you tell them what they're doing wrong, this is what we're going to do, is we're going to tell them how to fix it. And then what they get, what their reward is when they fix it. Don't, you know, now, you guys all get tests in school, right? I mean, obviously, we all get tests in school. If you don't, then you're not either not paying attention, or you need to share the wealth and find out, tell us what school you're going to. But, you know, there are some teachers that give you tests, and they're like, you have no idea what to study. It's like, what chapter? I don't know. You know, just everything in the past quarter, the past 4 months, just figure it out. But then there are those teachers that give you the study guide. You know, back in my day, I had some teachers, and those guys, they'd say, everything on the test is on this paper. If you study this paper, they're lies, you got terrible teachers, jacked up. Those are the teachers you slash your tires. Anyway, don't do it, because somebody really will. And back in my day, I had a couple teachers, my history teacher, and them, they'd say, okay, if you read this paper, these are all the questions, or these are the places that you're supposed to study. And I was like, thank you, Jesus, there is a God. And you would study what's on the paper so you knew what was coming up for the test. And see, those are the teachers I like. And in a sense, you find that God's not cruel, God's not mean, God's not jacked up, God's not trying to surprise or trick anybody, but in a sense, you find that these are the things that God is doing. He says, look, here's a study guide. You got seven churches, read them and find out which one you are. Find out which church you are, and then you see, oh, I'm jacking that up, oh, I need to fix that. And this is how I fix it. Perfect. Psh, study guide done. There's five churches that did great, but they were missing it. And then there was two churches they got the A pluses. Everything was right, nothing was wrong with them. Because, well, one of them was getting beat, and the other one, well, they just had a great, successful love one for another. And see, when you begin to read these things, this is God's picture into your life to say these. Now, here's the thing, is that before God just deals with everything, he lets everybody know, this is how you prepare. This is how you get ready for the test that's coming. There's no surprises. There's no pop quizzes. There's no, oh yeah, I got a trick question for you. God don't do trick questions. God makes it plain. I mean, all throughout the Bible, you'll find the Bible says, this is the will of God. God's not even tricking anybody. Okay, nobody's going to get to heaven and say, God, I thought you, really? Oh, you meant that. God's simple, and he's plain. He's simple and plain on the things that really matter to his heart. And that's where it goes within these letters to these churches. There's this verse in Genesis. You don't got to turn there. But God is going to give you as many chances as he possibly can. You know what I love? Is the fact that God is the God of the second chance. Look, if you've done stupid things, if you've messed up, if you grew up a Christian and all of a sudden you said, you know what, I hate God, I don't like my parents, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to get God mad at me. I'm going to do everything my parents told me to do, the opposite. I mean, some people, like, 10 commandments, I'm going to break them all. Some people get like that. They're like, I hate God so much, I'm going to do the exact opposite of everything he told me to do. Out there worshiping the devil and everything.
I know that's creepy, right?
But you see, you'll never run out of God's goodness towards you. As long as there's air in your lungs, as long as your heart is beating, God's forgiveness and love is available for you. Now, that don't mean you get to jack everything up and start stabbing people. I'm not talking about that. You know, just do it. But I'm saying this, is that God is patient with knuckleheads. And you. All of us. There's this verse in Genesis. If you guys had it, just put it up there. It's kind of crazy because the Bible says in Genesis 15, 16, God's talking about these people, this tribe, this group of people. They were super wicked. They were terrible people. They were killing babies. They were stabbing people. They were having wars. They did crazy things. It says, now after four generations, your descendants will return here to this land. And the sins of these people, the Amorites, they don't yet warrant destruction. God said, these people are doing terrible things, but I'm going to give them a little bit more time. I'm going to give them another chance, a second, a third, a fourth chance. We're going to wait so many years until, well, it runs out. You have, as long as you have air in your lungs, God's grace, God's goodness, God's mercy, God's love available to you. Don't waste it. Don't waste it. Look, God's not mad at you. God's not disappointed in you. God's not angry with you. He is just waiting on you. Say it almost every week. God is waiting on you to reach out to him because God's patient. He gave you the study guide. Where are you at? Look, oh, Pastor Richard, I'm growing up in church. I don't care. Half of these churches grew up in church. The people in them. And they're jacking up because they forget. They forget. They got lazy in their walk. And God's saying, no. Check yourself again. So that you can reach out and I can change and rearrange your life and make you whole. God is patient. God's never going to throw up his hand and say, I'm done. I'm done. Then why don't you just move out? Why don't you just go live with your dad then? God's not going to say that to you. God's not going to kick you out of the house. He's patient with you. So stop trying to make God like your mom. He's not. God's love for you is waiting for you to reach out and pull him close. And then you find out this, on the other hand, that God's mercy is so strong towards you and me because, well, he means business. His love is so strong towards you because his judgment is so strong.
Remember, my mom used to say, just you wait till your dad gets home. Oh, you could be here an hour. That's just enough time for me to pack up and run away, okay? I still remember the day my dad came in, and me and my brother, we jacked up all his tools. He's like, what? You broke my tools? What if I broke your toys? He literally broke a toy in front of my face. It was like a nuclear bomb. Oh, my God, Dad's crazy! It was this big old crane, too. I love that toy. He's like, oh, man, I swear the heavens split, the earth opened, fire. I'm sorry, Dad, never again. He's like, I'm going to break your legs next. That was my wrench. Just wait till your dad comes home.
God means business. I think that's why he loves us so much. That's why He gives us so much grace and mercy. Because when the hammer drops, it drops. But Pastor Richard, God is love. He would never. What? Of course God is love. That's why he's so serious about this stuff. Look, okay. What would you say about a police officer that was just driving down the street, his little car, looks out, sees this dude robbing this old lady? Excuse me, is there a problem, sir? And the dude robbing old lady says, no, officer, I'm just robbing this old lady. He's like, all right, carry on. I'd be jacked up. Look. Is that a good police officer? No! He's supposed to beat that fool. Chain him up. Take him away. Help that old lady.
We need to help this old lady. Give me a paramedic. She's jacked up.
What would you do if a judge in a courtroom had a murderer stand before him and he looked at all the evidence. The jury says he's guilty. The judge says, guilty, 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 all the way around. The evidence obviously says that you killed these people. Are you sorry?
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
All right, get out of here. I'm done. I got to eat dinner. Be a terrible judge. Terrible judge. No justice. What do you think? What would the family of the victims think? Is jacked up. In a similar way, God means business. You see, when you break the law, when we rebel against heaven, it's real. And for God to be a good God, just as the police officer to be a good police officer, they would protect the innocent and they would fight those breaking the law. They would stop them. That's what makes a good police officer, when they protect the innocent, right? And when they fight against those that are doing wrong things. It's the same thing with God. God's a just God. Because he loves us, he means what he says and he says what he means. So if God says, don't do this or else, better wait till dad gets home. Because you got that hour till he gets home to make your mom convinced.
Mom, I'll never do it again.
Then when dad gets home, the belt's like, ouch.
Right. That doesn't happen anymore, though. Right. That doesn't happen anymore. That's illegal.
in Revelation. This is a killer verse. Revelation 9, 20 through 21. It says, the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, they did not repent of the works of their hands. They did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. Idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, wood, which can neither see, hear, nor walk. These people did not repent of their murders and sorceries and sexual immoralities and their thefts. These people are the ones that were facing God's wrath. Dang, that's jacked up, Pastor Richard. I know. But is it, whose fault is it a person ends up in jail that did something wrong? Is it the judge's fault or is it person that broke the law? You know, here's the thing. Look, I know you're good because you're a good guy and you're a good guy and you're a good girl and I'm okay. I'm a pretty good guy most of the time. But we're all guilty. We're all guilty. No matter how good we are, we're guilty. You know, it doesn't matter how good a person is. They're guilty. They're guilty. They did it. And that's all of us. But God's goodness says, look, I'll deal with it. If you come to me, you receive my patience, then I'll take the guilt and you'll get off free. God paid the price. Jesus Christ paid the price for us. And he's waiting for us to enjoy his patience. To come to him and say, God, look, I jacked up. I messed up. I did wrong. And Jesus tells us, look, I know. I know. So I brought I solved the problem. I took your punishment. See, you got to deal with your sin now or later, right? You got to deal with it now with Jesus, or you got to deal with it later
when you're dead.
Or the end of the world. That would suck too. That's why you got to deal with it now. God, I give you my heart. God says, son, child, daughter, you are forgiven. And I'm going to wipe your slate clean with the blood of Jesus. Guys, Richard, this is kind of crazy. I know. Well, we don't preach on it every week. See, bottom line is this. For God to be really good, he's got to do something. He's got to do something with all the evil in this world. And he has to deal with it either now or later. If God deals with the problems in my life now, then I get to live a blessed life. But if I wait until the end, whether it be the end of days in Revelation or whether it be the end of my life and, you know, whenever, then God deals with it then with judgment instead of mercy. Take now, because God, don't waste God's gift of Jesus Christ. And then here's the thing, in Revelation all throughout it, and I'm going to hit on this as much as I can, is that you need to realize is that Revelation is the end of the story, and Jesus Christ has always already won. You know, the Bible says in Revelation 19, he paints this picture of this party that God throws, a celebration. It says, after I heard all these things, all these crazy wild things, there seemed to be a great voice, a loud voice in the multitude, crying out, saying, hallelujah. That means praise God. That's what that word means, praise God. Salvation and glory and power belong to God. His judgments are true and just. Look, God's not messing anybody up with the things that happen. He has judged the great prostitute. That's the
world system. All right.
He has judged this prostitute. He is who corrupted the earth with her immorality. He avenged on her the blood of his servants. If you feel like you've been dealt a raw hand, a wrong life, God makes all the wrong right. Once more, he cried out. And it says the 24 elders, the 24 living creatures worshiped God. This crazy picture in heaven. They were seated on the throne and they were saying, amen, hallelujah. And it says this right here in verse 6. He says, I heard this great voice. It was like a roar of many waters, the sound of thunder crying out. He says, hallelujah, the Lord reigns. Let us rejoice. Let us give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. The bride is ready, and he's granted her to clothe himself with fine linen, bright and pure. Pastor Richard, what the heck does that mean? You've been to a wedding before, right? Free food, free music. Get to dress up all nice, show up your crazy dance moves. Even little kids getting down when the DJ plays the music, right? I mean, hey, look, a good reception will go into the middle of the night, and there's like lights, and you got chicken or steak. What do you want, right? And you get to do all that kind of stuff, and you don't got to pay for none of it because you're just a guest, right? This is what God's painting this picture at the very end. God throws this amazing party because he wins. Look, the losers don't throw parties, right? Look, have you ever been in a team and you lost? Yeah. You only go get ice cream after you lose when you're like 5. If you're like in varsity soccer and you lose, ain't nobody getting ice cream. And if you do, it just don't taste that good. The winners throw the parties. And here's God. Look, if your family's falling apart, you have not lost. If you find yourself hassled by that same bully day after day, you have not lost. Look, if you're in this place and you've tried to stand up for Jesus and you have lost friends and people have made fun of you, let me tell you, it is not the end of the story. You have not lost. God is on the throne and Jesus Christ is alive. Look, you need to realize that no matter what people say about you, God has spoken life over you. And when you want to quit and you want to give up, you need to pick yourself up, kick yourself in the butt and say, why would I give up when I am winning? No one forfeits the game when you're ahead. You got to be crazy. So why would you forfeit even though it feels like you're losing? It seems like things are not going right. But the truth of the matter is Jesus Christ is not winning. He is already won. You're just waiting for the timer to run out. Because the game is in the bag. You just got to wait for the buzzer. And as long as you don't walk off the field before the buzzer goes off, you win. So no matter what, no matter how your heart's been broken, no matter what pain you've had in your life as a young person, you need to know that the marriage supper is happening soon and very soon. I mean, it's crazy. You hear the stories of the things that would happen. This book, let's wrap this thing up. You know, I read about these stories. You know, when this letter was written 2,000 years ago, the way the stories go to the people that this was written to is, it's crazy because what they were doing to Christians of that day is they were taking them from their families. Some of them they were killing and they were murdering simply because they were Christians. There's some stories that historians outside the Bible of that day, they say that the emperor of the day, Nero, what he would do is he would take Christians and they'd cover them in tar. They'd cover them in tar. And then he'd put them and he'd light them on fire alive to light his gardens at night so they can see the plants. And the crazy thing is that John writes this story to these people who hear the stories about their church members being taken and kidnapped because of their belief. Terrible things happening to them. And he says, look, guys, I know it seems like we're losing, but we're not. I know there's more of them than there are of us, but we are winning. We're winning not because we're cool or popular, not because we have lots of friends. We're not winning because we have lots of money. We're not winning because God's blessing us so much. No, we're winning because we were dead and now we're alive. We were depressed and now we have joy. Because I hated myself, but now I don't. I didn't know who I was, but then I found out Jesus Christ made me. He knew me in my mother's womb. He knit me together. And I thought I was this, but now I know I'm that. I thought I was a loser, but now I know I'm a winner. I didn't like looking at myself in the mirror. I thought everything in me was wrong, but now I found out that I'm right. Not because of who I am. I thought nobody loved me, but now I know that Jesus Christ, God Himself, came and gave His very best for me when I was at my very worst. I know that I have a life that has value. So no matter what happens, take my clothes, take my life, take my job, take my friends, take my reputation. But I know that today, as Jesus lives on the inside of me, I have already won. You can throw me in a cage, but I'm still free because you can't cage the freedom in my heart. The world can tear my family apart, but he can't tear me from the family of God. I will always have hope because Jesus is alive. He sits on the throne, and I know the guy running the show. He'll pull the curtains when he's ready. I can't lose as long as I don't quit. That's what Revelation's all about. So tonight, if you're in this place,